because I'm in Te Ao Māori, I've grown up in Te Ao Māori, that's how I identify. I want to make sure that, you know, when it comes time for my mokopuna, I want them to be proud to be Māori.
Te Rawhitiroa has a clear kaupapa to his work as a Māori photographer to flood the world with positive, authentic images that represent Te Ao Māori as he knows it. In today's episode, I'll be talking with him about how he got started as a self-taught photographer, how he sought advice from those around him, and how he approaches his work with the mindset of putting his subjects and their stories at the forefront.
So how did I get into photography? As I was a young fella, I had a couple of those instant disposable cameras and remember having fun with those, but I really started to, you know, kind of get creative with it and learn about it when I long-term borrowed my dad's early model digital camera, the one with a really long delay between the shutter. And so I started playing with different photos and, you know, learning different things. I actually entered and won a photo competition in Raglan for our local magazine paper, The Chronicle, and ended up having one of my photos taken with that old school camera on the front cover of this paper, which was pretty choice, and I can't remember, a few hundred bucks prize money or something like that, so that was pretty cool. Anyway, I started shooting at different whānau events and, you know, other creative photos, and then I got asked to shoot at the at a fashion show, Raglan Art to Wear, Wearable Arts fashion show. So not only shooting the actual competition, but they'd organized the back projector, which is pretty cool, man, behind the actual runway.
Mm.
And they wanted different photos to kind of show the different sections of the competition. And so, you know, there was Back to the Future, which was recycled fashion, had to be, you know, 70% from the recycle center in Raglan, extreme waste. There was another, the color orange. Can't remember the other sections, but one of them was harakeke, flax. And so these were all woven creations. Anyway, the photos that I did for the background of that were of harakeke, and I'd really started to learn how to play with aperture. And kind of backlighting the flax leaves and stuff like that. Got some pretty choice images. And anyway, one of the judges of the competition, she was a lady who had a local subdivision and a health spa in Raglan called Flax Cove. And she came up to me afterwards and said, oh my God, I have to have those images. They're the perfect representation of, you know, of the business, and I'd love to purchase them from you to use them as my branding images. And so I was the young fella and I was like, oh, okay. So I actually asked some advice of some other photographers that I'd met in Raglan, and they, you know, sort of put me in a ballpark, and then, you know, long story short, ended up selling six images and got a laptop. And I was like, that's pretty cool.
Nice.
And it also started kind of my pattern of, you know, whatever money I was making in the business, you know, something I kept long term, whatever money I made in the business, I put it straight back into the business.
Yeah. Back in.
Anyway, so that was my first kind of like, oh, I could do this as a job. And as you do over the next few years, I was working for like $1 an hour. You know, charging way too little for way too much work. But, you know, yeah, starting to build that portfolio, you know, build a bit of a reputation. People, you know, started knowing, oh, yeah, you know, he takes good photos. And and so my main work over the last few years has been actually in a youth development kaupapa called Te Aho Tūroa, working with Wharekura kids, so Total Immersion Māori High School. But while I was doing that mahi, I was also shooting at our events, I was, you know, when we were doing our road trips around the country, working with the different schools, I was shooting in our different locations. So I'd been kind of consistently developing my photography kind of on the side. And it wasn't until like a couple of years ago, 2.5, 3 matariki ago, I took the leap, said goodbye to the salary and the job security. And I actually told my boss 1 year before. I told her, next matariki, I wanna go freelance. I wanna finish up here. And I love that job. You know, like I love the people I was working with. There was nothing wrong with it, but I just wanted to kind of flex a different muscle and, you know, see if I could give it a crack. And now I'm too busy and have to say no, or push jobs to some of my mates. So it's been a whirlwind, but I can see that I'm loving my job and getting to have some pretty incredible experiences while I'm doing it.
Yeah, incredible, man. No, that's beautiful, and I think there's a lot of elements of your story that photographers working today can resonate with at all points of the journey. You know, everyone's like, you know, undercharged for their first photo, and it's quite impressive that you actually reached out to other photographers to get that ballpark, because I think a lot of us don't, and just sort of like fly it solo, and the idea of pricing is quite taboo in the sort of creative fields. So to actually reach out and start to ask those high questions is really cool. Yeah.
And the reality is, like, in general, people want to help. You know, if you're going to them and asking for advice, with a genuine heart, you're not going to go and try and undercut them or, you know, do anything dodgy like that. If you're going with real curiosity and like, hey, I know you've got experience in this, I'd love to learn from you. And that's the best way, because I didn't study any form of photography or anything at school, after school or anything. So I'm self-taught on my camera, and that's just by being a tutu, which is actually how a lot of Māori, how we learn a lot of things. Like, I've got so many mates who are, you know, top producers or top filmmakers who never went to film school but learnt on the job how to do stuff. And I think that's a basis, is it is who you know. It's not what you know, and it's, you know, how open you are to learning and to trying and to working hard. It's not easy. No one said it'll be easy, but you know, like if you're willing to put in the mahi, then you'll crack it.
Yeah, for sure, man. And to speak now to a little bit to that around your, I guess, your creative influences, the people you looked up to as you were, you know, maybe in those early days and maybe now for your growth as a photographer, like, who were you looking at sort of for your creative and technical
interesting, because I didn't study photography. I didn't know anything about anything. I didn't know anything about anyone, and like it's more like my mates, you know, seeing some other mates who are photographers. And one of the bros, Nick, he's down in Dunedin, he was saying he looks at photos, because he's real good on lighting, you know, setting up flashes and stuff. So he looks at a photo and then he tries to reverse engineer that photo, like, where did they put the lights and stuff like that. I kind of did that, as, you know, it's like looking at, well, what do I like? You know, what talks to me in this image or whatever, and then, you know, kind of thinking about that. But as I was coming up, I didn't really have any clear, oh man, I follow this photographer and they're awesome. And you know, social media wasn't, Bebo was still around.
Bebo,
all of that. So, there wasn't the access to as many amazing photographers as there is now. But later on in life, later on in my photographic life, you know, I realize I'm following in the footsteps of Mutua John Miller, who, you know, was a mate of my grandmothers, photographing all sorts of different really kind of iconic movements and times in our Māori. So, you know, mad props to him. But also it's just my mates, you know, it's the ones at my level. Mm. Erica Sinclair, epic photographer, epic Māori, wahine Māori photographer. And, you know, like when I was doing my business plan stuff, and one of the questions the mentor asked was like, okay, who are your biggest competition? And it would be Erica, except we're best mates and we help each other. We support each other. And so we rise together. So it's not this, you know, like you were saying, or some people it's a bit taboo or whatever.
Yeah.
We work. And I think a lot of that comes down to being Māori, and we're a communal people rather than, you know, society rather than an individualistic society. And so, man, what's good for me is good for her. What's good for her is good for me. The bro Damien Nikora, he's smashing it, you know, like with the work that he's doing. David Shields was another one that I worked with as a model. So he was shooting me, but he allowed me to ask him a bunch of questions and, you know, kind of observe how he worked with talent. So I learned a lot from him about how to work with talent, how to, you know, get them in good posture and all of that sort of stuff. So basically learning from people that I work with along the way. I'd say they're my biggest influences. But other than that, it's just being a tutu, you know, being Māori, trying things out.
Yeah.
Don't like that, do like that. You know, why do I like that? What happened there? I've still got heaps to learn, man. Like I'm most comfortable shooting natural light. So, you know, lighting rigs and stuff, I've got still heaps to learn in that space.
No, man, but I think, like, there's definitely, I mean, there's several things I want to touch on there that you just said, but, like, I think it definitely comes with a level of maturity. I think you're definitely right that, like, Te Ao Māori is a more communal, has a more, it's more of a community approach, and that way of, you know, not seeing each other as competition, I think definitely speaks to that. But it, like, I'm noticing it more too, just as I mature in my career, like I'm looking at my peers less as competition now, as more just as like,
yeah, those are my bros,
you know, like we all help each other. And I've, like, as a videographer, as a wedding videographer, like working alongside loads of amazing photographers, and like learning the majority of my aesthetic style from working alongside them. It's really cool that, like, even just today I got to, like, go to one of my wedding photographer friends' houses and teach him video editing, in the same way that, like, you know, years ago I was like sort of picking up how he was looking at lighting, like, you know, years ago, and that influenced my work. So it all comes around, you know, if you just give it a little,
and that's tuakana teina, you know, like in Te Ao Māori we think tuakana teina, and tuakana teina literally is like older sibling, younger sibling, but it's not an age thing. You could be, I could be older than you, I could be your tuakana in life, but you're way more experienced than me in making video, so that makes you the tuakana and I'm the teina, and so that relationship is consistently and constantly going like this. And I think if, like you said, with maturity and with humility, man, I've got lots to learn from everyone that I come across. And, you know, not thinking, oh, yeah, I know everything and I'm the be all and end all, because we aren't.
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to touch on that you said there was, I guess, how you related to your development in photography compared to your friends. Like, you, one of your friends would like look at a photo and like deconstruct it and like how the lighting was and all that sort of stuff. And I think from like looking at your work, I feel like there are like aesthetic photographers who have like a lot of their style comes through in their, like a lot of their visual style comes through. But I feel like your work, like the subjects shine. It's less of like looking at your work and you just see like the photographer. I feel like you see like the subject a lot more. I think like that's really interesting. You've got quite a documentary style, and the people you're photographing come through really clearly. And I think this is probably a good place to transition into your just overarching kaupapa as a Māori photographer And could you sort of speak to that and your sort of like, your mission as
a
photographer?
Like when people contact me, they're like, oh, we want to work with you because the words that always come through is like raw, real, authentic. Mm. I don't Photoshop. I don't put it there. You know, you get them jokingly say, oh, can you Photoshop me? Can you da da da? And I'm like, yeah, no, you don't need it.
All good.
And part of that is you don't need it because I want to show you being authentically you. And like photos, you know, it's funny, like looking back on how a lot of native peoples used to think of photography as it would capture your soul or, you know, capture your wairua. And I think there's an element of truth to that because if you shoot it well, then you can capture the essence of that person, you know, what they're feeling, the emotion or their-ness in the photo. And that's, that's more what I go for. And totally, like any of us in the industry know, there's two parts to being a good photographer. There's technically knowing how to work a camera and make a good image. The other part, 50%, it's not a 60-40 or 80-20, the other 50% is knowing how to work with people. Sadly for our industry, like the number of clients that I've gone to and I've worked with, and they were like, oh man, so much better than the last one. They made me feel so awkward. The amount of times I've heard that, and I feel like some of our mates in the industry are just too worried about getting the technical and not really addressing the person. Not really, you know, man, you can be an excellent photographer, and if you make your talent uncomfortable, you'll get shit photos. You know, they'll look, you know, technically amazing, but you won't get the reflection of the person, you know, they won't come out. And so, I think that's a really important kind of distinction and an important thing for us as photographers to really think about, you know. Get your shooting locked down, but also think about the people that you're working with. And I think that being Māori in a Māori space really makes a difference because it means people will be themselves around me. They're not, you know, putting anything on or anything. You know, like talking about my overarching kaupapa is that, you know, as a Māori photographer, growing up in Te Ao Māori, I want us to reclaim our storytelling because, sadly, again, you look around most of the media, the stories about Māori will be negative slanted. They will be carrying on that oppression or the implicit bias, whether overt or, you know, covert, it's still happening. And so, the general narrative.
And that sort of colonial, like you can't get away from it. So I guess could you speak a little bit to the importance of like and taking back and indigenizing that voice
as a Māori photographer? So the way I explained it to people is that, you know, generally and it's not everyone, definitely, but generally if you look at 10 stories about Māori, 8 of them or 7 of them will be sick Māori, sad Māori, bad Māori, angry Māori. You know, or, you know, that sort of narrative. Whereas when I go around and I'm solely, I'm going from one kaupapa to the next, to the next, to the next, I'm showing strong Māori, loving Māori, inspiring Māori, skilled Māori, like skilled with no training, just walk in, like with me, with my photography, walk in and then suddenly be awesome at something, you know, innovative Māori, all of these sorts of things. And so my kind of overarching thing is that I want to flood, and you know, our media these days is predominantly social media. You know, I don't know too many people that watch TV for their news anymore or read newspapers. Yeah, you know, and so I want to flood, like part of my undercurrent mission is I want to flood the world that we're looking at with positive, vibrant, beautiful images of our people. And they don't need Photoshop. And they don't need a dress up or pose for the for the camera. Just being ourselves, just being themselves is enough. And I think that, you know, when we were talking about reclaiming the or indigenizing the storytelling is it's quite different if you're outside a culture looking in versus inside a culture looking in. An example is like did a bit of traveling for a year kind of around the world, and I noticed the difference, big difference, if I went to a place just as a tourist, you know, and the experience you'd have, you know, oh yeah, this is awesome, beautiful, da da da. But if you went there with a local, you would see a completely different world. And because you're seeing it more through their eyes, you'd go, you'd eat at different places, you'd listen to different music, you'd, you know, you'd meet the right people. And so it's that kind of thing. And the other part of that is, and, you know, having worked with government agencies and, you know, comms collectives and comms agencies and things like that, is as a Māori photographer, I'm accountable to my people and to the people that I'm working with and photographing with. So I'm accountable to how they're portrayed. So I really work closely, and it's been awesome. You know, like the majority of the crews I'm working with, Māori organizations or Pākehā organizations, really do take that on and really try and take care of, you know, if we're using this queer's face and she's going to be in this, you know, in this campaign, I want to make sure she's looked after, that her mokos can look at her and go, oh yeah, that's our nan, and it's beautiful and it's safe. And it keeps the organization safe as well. You know, it keeps them from not making the wrong move, or, you know.
Yeah. Taking advantage of people.
So again, it's the front and back. Like on a marae, we have the front out on the marae out here, and then we have the back that runs it. You can't have one without the other. And I think it's the same in our game. To do it really well, I think it's the same.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. Fantastic. I would love now to transition into talking more specifically about some of your mahi. And let's talk now about the
Kaupapa Waka. Yeah.
Hei Kaupapa Waka. Yeah. Exhibition. Yeah. Give us a little rundown of the exhibition.
Yeah, what it's all about. That's been a ride. It's been awesome. Mm. So Hei Kaupapa Waka is an exhibition on waka, waka taua. So this one's a waka haurua, voyaging canoe, but waka taua, the paddling the war canoes, up at Waitangi. And so Waitangi 2020, I was up there working, you know, shooting up the top at the marae with the ceremonies and stuff, and then ran down, heard the waka were about to come down, so I ran down. Captured all the waka, and because I knew a whole lot of the kaihoi, I actually went down on the beach. Everyone else kind of got cordoned off, and me and my mate Joss Wheeler, who's another amazing shooter here in Aotearoa, we were down on the beach and managed to capture these photos. And I knew in that instant, I was like, man, there's an exhibition here. Spoke to my mate Willow Jean Prime, and she said, There's a gallery up at Waitangi that I hadn't seen up in the museum. And again, who you know. So she recommended that. Then I contacted Maori Dapana, who's at Waitangi, to see if there was a possibility. And he said, yep. Introduced me to Caitlin, the curatorial manager, and, you know, and then it was on. So that exhibition, rather than just being a photographic exhibition, me and my mates, Te Haunui Tuna and Jorge Patuahine and a few others, we were talking about having exhibitions where we have one overarching theme, but we have multiple art forms, and that we cater to multiple senses. So but like we were even getting into like the temperature of a room, the smell when you go in there. And so this exhibition, we ended up working with Hemi Irueta and Billy Harrison, two waka carvers up in the far north. And we got the last two waka to be carved by Tā Hekenuku Mai Puhipi, Hector Busby, who was, you know, our great canoe carver here in Aotearoa. And So we ended up with those two, Waka and Billy, carved a series of 10 hoi in the exhibition. Stunning. So that was the you know, the photos are the sea, the Waka and the hoi are the sea and touch. We had, for smell, we have the sawdust, the wood chips from the carving studio, the Kodi, in the hulls of the canoe, so people can grab it and smell it. And then the sound, got to work with, you know, it was crazy, you know, grew up listening to Tiki Tāne.
And then
I like rang him up and said, hey, got this kaupapa and I'd love you to make a soundscape. You keen? And he was like, yeah, hard out. And so I went around and recorded a whole bunch of sounds to do with waka, from going into the forest, you know, to cut down the tree, all through the carving process with Billy, recording all the different chisels and adzes and things like that. And with our kaihoi, with all our paddlers up north, hearing them doing all the haka and waiata and karanga, all those sorts of things, recorded them, and Tiki created a masterpiece. So when you walk into the gallery, so it's still there until October, October 2021. When you walk into the gallery, you can see, you can smell, you can hear, you can touch. And just sitting in, you know, sitting, even people not knowing that I was the photographer, sitting in the gallery and watching people go in and really get moved. They really feel the kaupapa, they really feel the connection with the people that are in the photos. And you know, our opening, we opened just before Waitangi Day, and it was pretty cool. Had a few VIPs, Jacinda and the ministers came down as well. But we had like a few hundred kaihoi paddlers outside doing a massive haka, all of our tohunga doing the karakia in. And it was basically, it was the whole gallery was packed with a couple of hundred people and people outside. And so that sort of response was epic. And the most important thing for me was, it was for our kaupapa waka. It was for our paddlers, and for them to see themselves, and for their families to see them, for their mums to come in, oh, there's my boy, or for kids to come in, oh, that's my dad. There was one whānau whose papa, that was his last paddle. After that, he passed away, you know, like within a couple of months. Wow. So they came in to see their dad standing as a rangatira on Ngātuki Mata Whārua, and that was, you know, like that blew me away.
Wow.
And so,
yeah,
you know, that feeds into that overarching kaupapa of showing our people as we are. There's no posed photos in that exhibition. Yet if you look, you know, if you look at the photos, everyone is completely in the moment. Everyone is completely, you know, on kaupapa, on point. And, yeah, man, it was a privilege to pull that together and to work with those other artists. Like, it's cool to do stuff with your bros.
Yeah, well, that's something I'd love you to just quickly talk about, is just that act of collaboration and how that feeds into your own work, and if you learned anything in particular from working with those different artists,
collaboration,
different, like, mediums.
It's way more fun, for one, and I feel like you get a much richer, a richer outcome. Like, I could have easily just done a photo exhibition up there, and that would have been cool, but I don't think it would have had the power that it does when you synergize, when you know everyone's got different skills, different talents, everyone's got a different part of the story to tell. And although it makes more work, like, it's way easier, it's that saying, you know, if you want to go fast, go alone, if you want to go far, go together. That mā rauringa e oti ai te mahi, like, It's the many hands, and again, it's that collective versus individualistic. I had no interest in, oh, this is my exhibition. It's Te Rāwhitiroa's photo exhibition. It's not actually my exhibition. It's the Kaupapa Waka's exhibition, and I'm contributing to it. Tiki's contributing to it. Hemi and Billy are contributing to it. Other bros in Rotorua, you know, in the lead up, Corey and Joel Masters, they were just like, bro, anything you need, we'll support. And so they ended up creating beautiful anchor stones, punga for the waka, and the puhirere and the puhiariki, the feathers on the waka. You know, and that was just, hey, bro, anything, we're there. And yeah, and that's that's what makes that process all the richer, I reckon.
Yeah, beautiful, really amazing. Yeah, I think there's a lot to learn there. The you know community versus individualistic way of approaching your creative work and you know, things that you make. It's a completely different way of going about things. Absolutely. So to transition now, I guess, into another aspect of Te Ao Māori, like the act of storytelling is so key. And photography as a medium is a storytelling medium. So like, how do you feel like, you know, your role as a photographer plays into, you know, that role of storyteller and how you weave that into
when I walk into a wharetupuna, into a carved meeting house, and I look around the popo, the ancestral forms that are all down the side, I'm looking at a bunch of old family photos. I'm still making those, but just with different technology. You know, those carvings depict ancestors. They depict what they did. You know, they're infused with story about them. And so when I'm taking photos of people now, I'm just taking photos of tomorrow's ancestors. So that feels quite cool to me, thinking about it in that way.
Yeah.
The other thing about storytelling is that it's a way to take people with you, on a journey. Like I know, and again, this is something that I hear all the time, when I'm at an event and say there's, you know, 500 people at that event, and I'm photographing that event, I then get messages from other people far away, living in Australia or living, you know, like I've had quite a few messages from Māori living overseas going like, man, you're our connection home. You're helping us feel connected, or you're making me feel like I'm there. You know, so that event that there are 500 people there through storytelling, through these photos, I'm enabling thousands of people to be there. And that's in the moment, that's in, you know, like within a day or within 2 days. With social is powerful as in that way. But also I'm thinking like, I think, you know, that was something that that Jacinda said in her speech at the opening. These are moments that in 50 years we're going to look back on and be like, well, that, you know, that's part of history. And the number of different kaupapa that I've been at that are historic events, you know, in the future we're going to look back just like I look back at Matua John Miller's photos. You know, one of them at a hui down in Te Kaha, he captured both my grandmothers together, you know, long before I was around. You know, things like that you look back and you see the Wutiihi Maira, you know, you see Paramechit, you see all of these people that are, you know, Ralph Hōtere, big people now. Back then they were just doing their thing. And that's what I feel like now. Now we're just doing our thing. But I know for sure, looking back in 50 years and 100 years, these are going to be the people, you know, that people look back to. These are going to be, oh, that's my tūpuna. Yeah, so it's storytelling in a real time or like in now, but it's also storytelling in the future that we're going to be able to look back on.
Amazing, man. Beautiful. As we sort of round out the show here, there's a couple of other questions I'd love to ask you. One would be, I mean, you kind of answered it in your last response, but just to sort of maybe to go a little deeper or to clarify what you hope the impact of your work would be long term. You know, you've sort of been working towards this kaupapa and you've got, you know, a lot of years ahead of you as a photographer, and sort of what do you sort of maybe picture long term and into the future, a long term impact
for your work? I think kind of tying into that overarching kaupapa is I want to change. There's two sides. So there's how we see ourselves as Māori, and then how Pākehā, Tauiwi, everyone else sees us. And I want to change both those things. You know, like if you tell someone they're dumb, you're dumb, you're dumb, you're dumb, you're dumb, you're going to start feeling dumb. You know, so if you tell someone you're amazing, you're amazing, you're amazing, start feeling amazing and start being amazing. So I want to, one, just again, really kind of dispel and get rid of that negativity and that form of oppression, and really uplift our people, so how we see ourselves. But I also want to change the way that our tangata tiriti, our partners and all of our other manuhiri from across the world, because, you know, we are a melting pot here and around the world. And so I want to change how people see us as Māori, because, you know, to this day we're still getting the Tauranga Ratepayers Association booing someone for speaking six words of Māori, you know. We're still seeing that sort of stuff happening. Yeah. It's like, come on, guys.
Yeah, I know. It's tricky with, you know, we're literally just talking about the beauty of social media, but, you know, the downside of that is these echo chambers we live in, and the fact that we can be shocked into the awareness of the fact that stuff is still happening around us.
Today, you know,
now, last today.
Week. And so that kind of pushes me even harder to, like, go harder and you know, really flood to really show, man, we're an amazing people. We are an amazing people. And look at me. I've got Pākehā whakapapa, Dutch whakapapa, and Māori whakapapa. Yeah. And, like, that's beautiful. You know, and there are many of us who have both sides of the whakapapa, but because I'm in Te Ao Māori, I've grown up in Te Ao Māori, that's how I identify. Mm. I want to make sure that when it comes time for my mokopuna, I want them to be proud to be Māori. And I want them to be valued for being Māori, you know, like valued for their contribution to wider Aotearoa, you know, and the world. And I think, you know, like we can see a shift. There is a shift happening now, and I'm like stoked to be part of that shift. But that's kind of, like I said, one of my main aims with my work is to really uplift how we see ourselves and how others see us. And I think photography is a really powerful way, because I'm capturing what's really there. You know, none of my images are made up. You know, it's real. Even if it's a portrait session that, you know, we're setting up in a studio, that person is still real, and the essence of that person that I'm capturing is still real. It's what's there. So yeah, that's I guess what I hope to achieve with my photography. Man, it's taken me to some awesome places. I've, you know, had amazing opportunities with my camera. Helped me travel around the world. You know, I was doing all sorts of trades. Yeah, free accommodation here if I take photos, and, you know, or going on different places that, you know, other people don't go. And then being able to share that trip with the whānau back here in Aotearoa. Like, I was gone for a year, and like a lot of people are like, man, you're taking us with you. Where are we going next? You know, where's the next destination? Because we're coming too.
Yeah.
And that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing, man. Beautiful. Really beautiful. Last question to finish us off, and we've sort of hoping that this can sort of tie back everything that we've been talking about. But if you were to sort of like look back at a younger you, at the you with your dad's old digital camera, what would be the advice you would give to yourself in terms of everything you've learned now? What would you tell a younger you?
I'd probably still follow, you know, a similar path to what I did, you know, just tutu, be a tutu, try things out, you know, go hard with that. Learn to value myself earlier. And that's what I'd say to any photographers. You know, once, you know, you can't charge what the big boys are paying if you're not providing the goods. But, you know, there was a time where I look back now, and actually that was the time that I started to go, like, know your value, is when I was looking at, again, not to run down other photographers, but I was looking at what they were producing and what they were charging versus what I was producing and what I was charging, and going, huh? okay, I need to, I need to value my time. And so I think that's an important thing. Get zero as soon as you're in business. Yes. You know, like,
yes,
that's the back end. Yes. We go zero. Out there, but you know, you've got to be able to run a business and man, that it's made it so much easier.
Yeah.
Get GST registered because that makes it easier for all the businesses.
All that boring stuff. All that quote unquote boring stuff. Like,
totally.
Just do it. Because for a lot of us creatives don't want to touch that. We want to focus on what we like, making pretty pictures. But these things, these systems enable us to make pretty pictures for
it. Because if you don't do that stuff right, you won't be sustainable. You won't be able to do it for long.
You'll crash and burn. Yep.
So yeah, like learning that sort of stuff. I would, really encourage other young photographers or, beginning photographers, once you start earning money, put it into your gear. Like, I'm not a photographer who has heaps of gear.
Mm.
I've got, one camera body. Now I got a backup camera body, which was just my old one. But basically, I run with one and two lenses, sometimes a third lens. And that's, 99% of my work. So I'm not saying go out there and buy a whole lot of gear. I'm saying, like, learn how to use the gear that you got, but buy quality gear earlier, and it'll, once I got up to the 5D, I'm not looking at anything else kind of thing. But investing early money into that in the long run, that's totally going to pay off. Get a good camera bag, keep all your gear dry. Start to build good habits. Like, I've got good habits, or I feel like I've got good habits around backing up, back up, back up, back up, back up. Anyone who's had a corrupted hard drive will know the pain of that. So find different ways, research and find different ways to back up. As soon as I come home from a gig, I'm pulling out all the hard drives, backing them up, pulling out all the CF cards, backing them up, charging the batteries, clean everything. My gear is like 10, 12 years old, and it still looks pretty new because, I really take care of it. So because I really take care of it, I'm not spending heaps of money trying to replace it. And I guess it's what you're into. Yeah. Some people really like buying the newest gadget, and that's cool if that's what you like. But in terms of...
Yeah. I think what you're talking to there is just a holistic approach to, like, structuring your business as a photographer, and like just shoring up all the back end, shoring up just your process, just not leaving anything to chance, basically, because we can be guilty of just dusting through things and flying by the seat of our pants a lot of the time. But like investing in your gear, investing in your business, investing in education, investing in solid systems and workflows and habits,
and ask for advice.
100%.
Find a photographer you like. My Brazilian mate, he told me one of their sayings: the no is already here, my friend. The yes is what makes the difference. So like asking Tiki Tane to produce the soundscape, if I don't ask him, then it's already no. If I ask him and he said yes, then look where we are now.
Yeah. There must be something about Tiki because honest to God, years ago, and I'm talking years ago, I hit him up on email out of the blue and said, "Hey, do you mind if I use one of your songs for one of my short films?" I was making this like a little passion project.
He is an awesome dude.
Like, yeah, sure.
Like, straight up awesome dude to work with. I learned heaps, looking at his process, how he works with the sounds.
Mm.
Yeah, it was epic. But again, the no's already here. The yes is what makes a difference. And so if you can, as an up-and-coming photographer, go and have a yarn with a photographer, if you know someone, even if you don't know them, social media has broken the distance.
Yeah.
We can send a message and they might respond, they 100%. Might not. If they don't, all good, you haven't lost anything.
Mm.
If they do, then you've got a connection. I always Like at different gigs, yeah. I'm always giving kids my camera, right? Show them how to hold it carefully, okay? Yeah. And trust them with it, you know?
Yeah.
Be really careful, but here's how you use it. Go and have a play. And I'm sitting in the back and their parents are freaking out going, oh my God, you just gave my child a $7,000 camera. You know, what are you up to? But no, the kids take care of it. And then who knows, man, if one of them goes, man, I want to be a photographer like uncle. Sweet. Because that's the thing. And like in Te Ao Māori, you know, we need more Māori photographers who know, who have grown up, who understand tikanga and kawa. That is a point of difference, you know. Like I can go onto a marae, say a client can send me onto a marae and not have to worry about anything. I'm not going to do anything wrong. I'm not going to step on anyone's toes. I'm going to know how to, I can hear and understand what's going on. I understand the protocols and the processes. And now I know most people there, you know. And that is something different that we bring as a Māori photographer than, say, a Pākehā photographer going in a Māori space. And there are Pākehā and Māori spaces. My mate Joss, you know, he's done awesome work in Te Taitokerau and down in Tūhoe. And the whānau there trust him because he's accountable, you know, and he's spent the time. And he also produces beautiful imagery. So I think, like, all of those things, for a young shooter, think about those things, but also, reach out, have a yarn. I yarn to photographers all the time, or, you know, they send me messages. And I'm totally open to, you know, helping someone. And I know others, you know, like yourself or other photographers will.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Fantastic advice. Well, I think that's a great place to leave us today for this episode.
Awesome. Thank you both. Thanks so much for the invitation.
Te Whaitiroa is, it's been a pleasure getting to talk to you, getting to hear about your work, about your kaupapa. I think there's so much to take away, you know, from photographers from every genre, every aspect, every point in their career can learn something from today's conversation. So, thank you again for your time. And, that was great. Great.
Yes, bro. Thank you. Thanks to everyone who's tuned in.
Kia ora. Thanks, man. See you guys.